And what do you give me that little grin for? For those of you watching on YouTube, can you just comment in the comments below and acknowledge that I'm not crazy when Tim gives me these like little smart ass smirks, like I'm doing something wrong or I made a mistake? Because am I just psychoanalyzing myself? Like, don't upset Tim.
Yeah, John, you didn't used to be so sensitive. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way,
you've been wearing me down. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Another episode Friday. Tim, we had a nice interview yesterday. We're on to the next one. Here we are. How are you doing? How is life in North Carolina?
Yeah, doing well. Doing well. I'm excited for you. This is a big weekend for you, and I know people have been talking about it, but you've been a little bit quiet about it. So why don't you tell us what's happening this weekend?
We are going up to Michigan Tech. Excuse me. I'm being inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame up there for Michigan Tech. So it's exciting. Big honor. It's one of those things where I don't deserve it per se, because I know why I'm getting in. You know, it's just all-star game. That's it. That's why I get everything these days. So it's just whatever. Like, I had a big movie update. Mitch Albom called me this week. He's like, we're getting very close. I'm like, it's cool. So it's like, again, it's just, and this one's actually neater with the movie because he said it'll be a theater release. Whereas the last year, it's been mostly streaming services I want to tie on, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, those types of things. So this will get a theater release and then right to streaming service right after that. So that's exciting. And it's more true to my story, which is good. But we'll see. Those things take a long time. He gives me an update and then I don't hear anything for years at a time. So, but yeah, Michigan Tech, it's fun. We're going back up there. Danielle's coming with me. I'm bringing a couple kids and we'll have a good time. Catch a hockey game, and being thrown in the Hall of Fame isn't a bad thing. So it's a big honor. I'm very excited. Michigan Tech is a very prestigious school. I don't know if you know that. It has very, very deep history. The first professional hockey game was played in Houghton, Michigan. So people love hockey up there. It'll be a fun weekend.
Right. Will you have to speak at all?
You do like a 4 to 5 minute speech, a thank you speech. I'm just trying to figure out who to include, who to not include. And obviously you're included in that speech. I want to thank Tim, my life partner, you know, through thick and thin, for better or worse, Tim. So you'll get a big share of that. But all my old coaches, like one of my coach from Tech reached out today saying, congrats, you know, very excited for you, this and that. So none of my other teammates are Hall of Famers yet. So that means I was the best.
That's right. Yeah. Well, congrats. It's very exciting. Hopefully we get some good pictures and content and stuff. And we'll talk about it next week when you're back.
Yeah, we will. It'll be fun. I'll get some pictures. More exciting news. I have a chicken update, Tim. This podcast has turned into a chicken. Everybody, how's the chickens? How's the chickens? How's the chicken? The chickens are doing great, everybody. The chickens are flourishing. The chickens are laying a ton of eggs. I am putting insulation up in the coop right now. So for my house, for my in-floor heat, you have to put 2 inches of foam down before you put your in-floor heat on it. So I had a bunch of 2 inches of foam left over. My buddy said, why don't you just put that in the chicken coop between the rafters? It'll keep a lot of heat for the winter. The chickens will be really comfortable. So I spent all day yesterday and the day before lining the roof rafters with my styrofoam. I'm going to do the walls maybe next week if weather permits. But that's not the big news. We got 4 more chickens. Can you believe that? So my buddy who's on my hockey team Sunday nights, he's like, I have too many chickens. We lost all our chickens earlier this year. A bear came in and just took them all out. He lives in Empire, which is pretty close to Traverse City where I'm at. He's like, yeah, black bear came in and just destroyed my whole flock. So the kids were upset. We went out and bought 15 more. And he's like, it's just too many for us. So he just gave me 4 chickens, and they're beautiful chickens too. There's a couple silkies, 2 silkies, which are small and have the nice hair on the feet. There's one beautiful white one, the stereotypical hen you would think of, the white with the red kind of mohawk thing, whatever that's called. And then another white one that's massive, but it has black speckles on it. So the kids are just, they're through the moon happy with the new chickens. Because I only had, they're called barred reds, I believe. And they're very standard. They're just red. maybe we have hints of orange and brown, but they're all the same kind. So to get these four new ones, which are different kinds, they're very exciting. And then go ahead.
How many eggs are you getting a day now?
Well, with the new chickens, we should get 12 to 13 a day if they're all laying. And they still are because the weather's been good and we feed them good and we got, you know, it's a good situation for them. But when we introduce the new chickens, it's funny how nature works. The pecking order, I think I've said this on the show, it's a real thing. So I know what's happening when I let these chickens into the coop. It's a no holds bar fight, like a cockfight, but with the hens. And so I throw them in there, and it's funny how the four chickens I introduced, there's two big ones, the two big whites, and then the two silkies that are very small, almost like little Cornish hens. The two big white ones protect the silkies. And so the two big ones of the barred, my original ones, they come over and they start going at it right away. And when they fight, it's aggressive. They're pecking, the feet come up, and it's neat to watch. Nobody dies. There is some blood. And so they go at it. But then when my original ones go after the Cornish hens or the silkies, the white ones will come around and protect them and say, hey, back off. And so that the initial introduction, there was a fight, a melee for probably a good 20 minutes. Cooler heads prevail. They go to their separate corners, literally separate corners. The four new ones are in one corner and the nine originals are just sitting there just like brooding about, and then one will go over and attack it, and one will go over and attack it. It's like when you guys LARP in the field. Okay. It's very just like, I had to throw in a dig there to you. I know. I'm sorry.
So I'm sorry. How many are left from the original? Only two, right? Of the very, very OGs?
Two. Yeah. And those are the top dogs. They're big. And they throw their weight around. So the two white ones, I think, will eventually overthrow them. But yeah, the two ones are they're Sunshine and Jane. Those are the two that still kicking around. Through the possum, through the fox, through the owl, through the winter, they've survived. They are fighters.
And how many do you have total? Did you say that?
13 now.
13? Wow. How exciting. That's great.
Very exciting. People, so yeah, that's a chicken update.
If we go a few weeks without an update, we'll get those comments. Like, John, how are the chickens? So very important.
And we introduced... for those of you who know chickens, some scratch. It's a different type of food because our coop has been smelling bad and I always constantly have to clean it out. But my buddy has chickens and he's like, you need more carbon in the coop. So I put more hay in there and he's like, put scratch in so they'll, you know, work up the poop in with the hay and you won't even have a bad smell and it'll just degrade on its own. It's this neat thing and you throw the scratch in the hay and the chicken. It's like what's the thing for cats when you give them and they go crazy? Catnip.
Catnip, yeah.
It's like that for chickens. They go flipping nuts for that stuff. But anyways, things are good. You know what else is happening, Tim? And I've been ruminating on this for a long time. Tim's been pushing it. I'll be honest. It's a big announcement. We're very excited. I'm a little nervous and I'm a little apprehensive about it, but it is neat because it is a good thing. People, fans have been asking, listeners, Patreon. We're going to have a Patreon account. So Tim's all jacked up about this. I'm excited too. So you can become a friend of the show for $5 a month. And now if this doesn't go over well, we'll shut it right down. I'm not married to it, but I do think it's a great thing. Like I said, Tim's been all about it because he's in the mix. You're plugged in. I don't know if this is even a big thing, Patreon. It feels like I'm just milking people for money, which I hate to do. But Tim, why don't you tell them why they should become a friend of the show?
Yeah, and people have been asking me this for years as well, saying, is there a way I can contribute? Is there a Patreon, paid subscription, whatever? And we thought about it. We haven't done it sooner, but this time of year, it's very exciting. And so like John said, $5 a month is very little. You're going to be invited to an active Slack community that's already started. There's a few listeners in there already. So we'll be talking about hockey. We're talking about the games. There's a channel for the episode stuff. We'll do interview requests, all that stuff. You'll be very, very active there. But that'll be really fun. And in that, you'll have behind the scenes content. You'll have access to John and I. We'll be there just about every day. Also included is a 20% discount on all Drop in the Gloves merch. That includes the hats, the shirts and the hoodies. It'll include a discount on John Scott's cameo. And then the new thing that we're going to try is that when we have player interviews, unless we have like one random, like last minute, last second, we know we have one coming, we're going to drop that in the Slack community and give people a chance to submit their questions. And we'll just pick, you know, one, two, or three, or however many for each interview and say, give you the credit by name and say, this next question comes from Bobby or Mary or whatever. So you'll be able to hear your question asked on the show and be called out for it. So there's a lot that gets involved there. It's only $5 a month. It'll be a lot of fun to chat with people on. We still get so many messages on social. It's hard to keep up. So having it all in one community in one place will be really good. So $5 a month. There'll be a link in the show notes. You can also find it all over our socials, and hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah, the Slack's going to be fun. I'm on Slack every day just at work doing my engineering. So that's where Tim and I do most of our communicating. So it'll be fun. Anyways, check it out. If you don't like it, don't do it. I don't know. Like Tim said, it's something new where we're giving it a shot because I'm broke. And as you've noticed, there's not a lot of ads on the shows anymore. Papa needs some food for the kids. My kids are skinny. You know what I mean?
They're starving.
They're losing weight. All right. So before we interviewed Alex from the Tennessean about the Nashville Predators, Tim and I put out a poll, a Twitter poll, an Instagram post. The NHL did the big frozen frenzy. Gary Bettman's parlay into trying to stir up activity, eyes on the NHL. He's doing his best, which I thought was funny because every game was staggered 15 minutes so everybody could watch him. And he was trying his best to get eyes on the game. He did it the opening night of the NBA. Yeah. It's just, and then on a Tuesday, like, do you think that's going to get many eyes on the game? It's just really confusing. And now with the growth of the WNBA, the NHL is now conceivably the fifth most popular sport in North America.
It's not below the WNBA. Come on.
Caitlin Clark, man. Like, it could even be six with MLS. Like, it's getting drastic. And I'm not just saying this to be, you know, down on Gary Bettman. They need to do something to garner some attention to this game. We have great players. It's the best sport to watch live and on TV. And I feel like they're just blowing it. I don't know who their marketing people are, but they're terrible. Every start of the season, every European Frozen Four, whatever they call it now, the Stadium Series, the Winter Classics, it's not good. But anyways, aside from that, there was 16 games on Tuesday. Every single team played. Tim and I threw out our picks. We did pretty good. I went a little more aggressive with the underdogs. I went 7-9. You went 8-8. I feel like we did pretty good, all things considered. What do you think, Tim? Did you think you did good?
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, you make those picks and you feel so confident when you do it. It's like a fantasy draft or something, or playing the lottery. And then you realize that you don't know just about anything, but I was pretty aggressive with my underdogs too. I think we both were, and just didn't work out. I picked Montreal over New York, for example. Which I thought was bold. So yeah, I was 8-8. You were 7-9. I got one more right than you did. And I was going to pull up a list of like which ones you got right that I didn't and vice versa, but I just ran out of time. But overall, it was a great night of hockey. I watched mostly the Flyers versus Caps game because that was the first game on ESPN that night. And it was fun to watch. Mishkov was good. The Caps looked really good. They're a good team. They won again on Wednesday night versus the Flyers again. So yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah, Michkov is the only bright spot right now for the Philadelphia Flyers. That kid is playing lights out. I think is he the early favorite for the Calder? He has to be. He's playing great for that team. Lane Hudson, not so good. You know, he's exciting to watch on the ice. But what I noticed with him is I think he needs to either stop drinking Red Bulls before the game. Doesn't he seem jittery on the ice?
He's doing too much.
Always moving and head fakes and shoulder fakes and this and that. And he's just like, as he progresses, I think in his career, that will slow down a little bit. I liken him, and the size difference is completely different, but to a young, when Brent Burns was young, or it was just like a chicken with his head cut off out there, where he's just all over the ice trying to hit everybody, but you need to just rein it in. And I think at this point, Lane Hudson is still super green. He's trying to do everything every time he gets the puck. He loves when the fans go, ooh, ah. So he tries to do that every single time. This is why you get those -4 games, -3 games, because this is the NHL. You're going to walk one guy. You're not going to walk two or three. You're going to get your pocket picked. You're going to get scored on. So he needs to simplify it, pick his spots. No one to, you know, go for it. No one to just kind of fold and try again another time. So he will learn, hopefully, because he does have the skill. But anyways, speaking of... Go ahead.
Well, I just want to add, I think that goal that Riley Smith scored where he picked Hudson's pocket, went down and scored on the little rush there.
Yeah.
It was so perfect because, I mean, it shows just a terrible mistake by Hudson. But Riley Smith, to do it, is like the most experienced, boring veteran there is in the league right now. And it's completely the opposite of Lane Hudson. And then he just showed, like, even a guy like me is going to show you that you can't do that stuff in this league. So I thought that was a really great moment. Hopefully a learning experience for the kid.
Hope you would hope so. And the coaches have to be harping on it. It's a tricky thing as a coach to deal with a player like that because you don't want to break his spirits, right? Because you see the raw talent. You see what he can do because one or two times a night, it works. And he dangles somebody and he splits the forwards and he gets in alone and he makes a nice play or this and that. The other 60% of the time, 70% of the time, it doesn't work. So you have to manage the good with the bad. You don't want to say, don't do that ever. Just stay back, make a good first pass and just stay back, you know, play smart, because then you ruin his career and you ruin his game. And that's not who he is. So I don't know if the Canadians have the coaching there because Martin St. Louis, it's not going well in Montreal this year. They have injuries. They're losing hockey games. It's starting to go sideways really, really quickly. The original six teams, Montreal and Detroit, there's some topics of conversation there. But moving on, speaking of Montreal, one of their defensemen, Justin Barron, got absolutely trucked on Tuesday night, and everybody saw it. And who was the culprit? Jacob Trouba, one of, if not the most feared hitter in the game. Name another hitter, Tim, that you can think of off the top of your head who players are more feared of.
There's no one that's more. The only other one I think of is Gudas, but Truba's top dog.
It's Trouba. He consistently does it. He is just burying guys at least half a dozen a season. And he picks his spots. He really does. This is a primetime game. New York Rangers, Montreal Canadiens, all eyes are on him. Justin Barron skating the puck from his zone into the neutral zone, into the offensive end. I think he maybe looked up straight ahead, maybe once. The whole time he's skating with the puck, Tim, he's looking down at the puck and he's looking to the center of the ice for a pass. He doesn't look straight ahead. And if you're on the ice, you have to know who you're up against. And that goes across the board. If I'm an offensive player, I need to know which defenseman I have, which forwards I'm playing against, because that dictates how that shift goes. Maybe I'm not going to try to dangle a Victor Hedman. Maybe I'm not going to try to go around a Devin Taves. But if I see a Luke Shen out there, I'm going to give him a go. If I see a rookie defenseman, yeah, I'm going to challenge him. That dictates how the shifts go. I'm going to dump it in. Am I going to try to get cutes here? If I know Jacob Trouba is on the ice, I'm going to dump it in. I'm going to keep my head up because that guy is an absolute killer. When I played a million years ago, I knew when Cal Clutterbuck was on the ice. I knew when Matt Martin was on the ice. I knew when Nick Cronwall was on the ice. That's how old I am. I played against Nick Cronwall. All of those guys could ruin your night in a hurry. And there's not a lot of guys in the NHL who do that. Jacob Trouba is one of them. So if I'm Justin Barron, I'm skating up the ice. I know he's on the ice, so I probably just dump it in at the red line. Not Justin Barron. He's making moves. He wants to make a play. He gets across the offensive zone, fumbles the puck a little bit, maybe misses a pass. He looks down. I'll see you next year. Buries him. But absolutely, Tim, obliterates this kid. I slowed it down to like 1/10 of a second. He still buries him. Like, it's still fast from like erect to prone. Like, he just absolutely destroys this guy. He sucks the soul out of his body. And it was just nothing. A ho-hum play for Jacob Trouba. He gets up and he goes, yeah, shouldn't have been there. What did you think of the hit? Dirty or clean, first of all?
Yeah, I really wanted to think it was dirty and say, oh, Trouba, too much. But
that first comment drives me crazy. Because I think a lot of the people out there, they initially see it and they go, oh, I really want this to be dirty. You can't come at it from that angle, Tim. You can't do it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not the player of safety. I can think what I want. I don't have like the, he's not innocent until proven guilty. I watched it, I think Trouba, and I'm like, oh, he must have led with the elbow to the head. And he didn't. The arm comes up, but it's after the hit. The initial contact is through the shoulder. It is at the head, but I think that's also Barron's fault because he leans forward when he's skating into Trouba. So Trouba doesn't target the head, even though the head is the point of contact. And so, which is why he didn't get any supplementary discipline. It was a clean hit. Unfortunate for Barron that, but that's like you said, and I hate to blame a victim in this type of thing, but like, you've got to know who's on the ice. Like, if nothing else, you have to know it. Trouba's right there. He's going to step up on you, especially knowing that you're a defenseman. You know what I mean? Like, he knows you're not going to be able to get by him. You know, you don't have the chop to make a move around him. Hardly anyone does in that league. So yeah, it's just Barron's got to be more aware there, and hopefully he's okay. But it was a right call that there was no penalty and no supplementary discipline after the game.
Oh, you 100 victim blame right here. That is his fault. Whoa, what happened? It's not my fault, bro. You knew exactly what you were doing when you crossed the ice like that. You knew what was going to happen. It was Jacob Trouba. And this is, and we talk, who did we talk about this with? Nick Foligno. Where players these days, they don't know how to take a hit. There isn't that fear factor of players growing up through the ranks. They took out hitting, for Pete's sake, in my junior leagues. You're not allowed to hit. It's just you're not allowed. And these are teenage boys who are flying around, and you tell them they can't hit. Like, it's a terrible idea. So this is what happens when you start that young. You get older and older, and you get used to skating with your head down through the neutral zone without that fear of getting absolutely pasted. And this is what happens, because you run into a player who does know how to hit. So this is 100% on Justin Barron. He had 100 feet to put his head up and see Jacob Trouba. It's not like Jacob Trouba came out of nowhere. He was gapping him up the whole time, Tim, for Pete's sake. He's staring at him. All Barron has to do is look up and go, okay, yeah, there's Trouba. I'm going to flip it cross ice. I'm just going to dump it in, make him turn and get it. No, he doesn't do any of that. He gets absolutely killed, and it is 1,000% his fault. No, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was a clean hit. Super clean. Doesn't leave his feet. Hits him square in the dead mass center of the body. People call him for a suspension. Are you crazy? Absolutely crazy. That was a beautiful hockey hit. The worst part about it was then someone's got to fight him. Like, that was a clean hit. Leave him be.
Well, okay, but if this was Trouba hitting Bedard, and then a Foligno or someone else goes after him, wouldn't you say, okay, that makes sense, that's fair?
Oh, perfect sense. Yeah, but I'm a Chicago homer, so I gotta take care of Bedard. But no, I understand the fight. It's a nature of the game. You hit a star player, you have to stick up for yourselves. But before I get into that fight, before I go after Trouba, I go to Barron. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, bro? Like, you're putting me in a bad spot here where I got to jump this guy. The beautiful thing is, at the end of the day, the Montreal Canadiens end up in the penalty box and the Rangers get a power play. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, there was a play a few weeks ago. I forget who tweeted it out, but it was actually the Blackhawks. It was Bedard, and it was Sergachev. They were playing Utah, and Sergachev like went and lined him up by the boards and then peeled off. And you can tell that the only reason, like, it wasn't going to impact the play, the puck was already gone. And the only thing that could have came out of that was that he hurt Bedard. And he was like, this is not worth it. And he made the decision not to. I thought that was a cool moment. But I also have no problem with guys following through like Trouba did in this one, as long as it's clean.
Yeah, the one time a player ever gave me a pass was I was playing Vancouver, Kevin Bieksa. He could have buried me at the blue line. For some reason, I just got the idea that I should rush the puck. I'm like, this is great. I get to the blue line, and he just came up and just kind of stood me up. And he goes, whoa, big boy. And he stopped. And I was like, man, you could have murdered me. Absolutely killed me. Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. You know, sometimes you just get ahead of yourselves. You're just like, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it, Harry. And then you just get trucked.
Would a coach, when you came back to the bench, would a coach say something like, hey, nice play, Johnny. Don't ever do it again type thing?
Yeah, like, what the hell were you thinking? No, they go, don't. Yeah, what was that? Stop. Like,
even if it ended up being a good play, they still don't want you doing that.
Just don't do that ever again. Like, just, and it was always in good fun. But yeah, don't ever rush the puck. Ever, ever, ever. If you're across the red line, just dump it in. I was not an offensive player. And I'm okay with that. That's why this Hall of Fame thing this weekend is funny. They're going to announce my stats and they're going to be like, whoa, are we sure about this? But he made the All-Star game. Hey, anything on the Trouba hit? Any other stuff? Is there going to be retribution the next times they play? Because we got Rempe in the bullpen. You got Arbor Jacki in the bullpen. You got a lot of tough guys willing to settle this beef. Or is this squashed? Non-issue.
I would say non-issue. I think even the players on the Canadiens would realize that this wasn't like this was Barron's fault. But I hope it does create a little bit more intensity. I think the more rivalries, the better. And both of these teams happen to have guys that can contribute to that. So I hope it does elevate the excitement and attention the next time they play, but I don't see, like, there's no need for retribution here.
I agree. These New York Rangers, they're playing great, aren't they?
They look good.
Absolutely dominant. Like, it's really fun to watch. One of three teams left that have not lost in regulation. Calgary Flames, Winnipeg Jets haven't even lost in overtime. Legit undefeated in the New York Rangers. So fun stuff to watch. All right. Speaking of fighting, retribution, big boys going at it. We had potentially the fight of the year already into this early season. Nick Delorier and Dylan McElrath for the Philadelphia Flyers and Washington Capitals went at it in the first of a back-to-back game. Pretty good fight. I somewhere around the way, I either played with Dylan McElrath or trained with him. I think it was with the New York Rangers when we were Black Aces. Potentially, I ran across him. He's a big dude. Like, he's a solid human being. And he's one of those guys who just, he's been around him for a long, long time. He was a captain of the Hershey Bears for the last two seasons. And I think they've won the Calder Cup 2 years running. So he's been around the block. Is it not the Calder?
It is, yep.
And what do you give me that little grin for? For those of you watching on YouTube, can you just comment in the comments below and acknowledge that I'm not crazy when Tim gives me these like little smart-ass smirks, like I'm doing something wrong or I made a mistake? Because am I just psychoanalyzing myself? Like, don't upset Tim.
Yeah, John, you didn't used to be so sensitive. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way, you've
been wearing me down. Everything.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you just like, you go like this.
I think a lot of times I do it when sometimes you pronounce a name wrong and I decide whether or not I'm going to correct it. But I don't know what I was doing that time. There's nothing you said that was wrong, but to my knowledge.
Do I pronounce names wrong? How dare you? But anyways, back to the fight. Back to the matter at hand. These are two tough guys. Nick Delorier getting into his first game for the Philadelphia Flyers, which is strange to me because I feel like he would be a John Tortorella clone that he would love to throw on the lineup. The guy isn't a liability. He gets up and down the ice. He creates havoc. So he gets his first game action. Dylan McElrath, I don't know why he's in the lineup, but he is. And they score off. What a fight. Absolutely monster of a fight. They're going at it. What I loved was the refs tried to jump in and Dylan McElrath actually punches the ref to get out of the way. But no, it was that was one of his other fights I was thinking of. In the AHL, he fought Zach Fitzgerald. Go check out that fight. It was when he was 20 years old. But anyways, good fight. I give the edge to McElrath. I think he did the most damage, had the most connections, but it was a very refreshing fight to watch from my perspective, where it was just two guys going at it. Nice long fight, couple injuries, couple stitches, but a good one. It got me thinking, who are the toughest guys in the league, Tim? So I just compiled the list. I want your opinion. And if I have a guy here who I've missed, let me know. But in the NHL today, who is the toughest player? Because Ryan Reeves, he's asterisk. See, he's creating doubts. You got him. You got Arbor Jack guy. You got Delorier, Rempe, Olivier, McDermott. Zach McEwen from Ottawa's a tough cat. Tom Wilson, Tanner Jeannot, Ross Johnson. You got Dylan McElrath now. And I think you have to factor in, Tim, guys who actually play. Because like a Curtis McDermott, he ain't playing. You know, Nicky Delorier's played one game. Arbor Jack guy's been in and out of the lineup. Ryan Reeves in and out of the lineup. So is a guy like Tom Wilson the toughest guy in the league just because he has the opportunity? Tanner Jeannot, what do you think, Tim?
Wilson hardly fights anymore.
I know.
Compared to some of the early years, similar to like a Lucic trajectory, right? Like he fought more and fought less.
Hopefully not in always, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, gosh. So I'm just going to ignore the fact of how often they're in the lineup and just say they're NHL players full time. And I would say my top three right now are probably Delorier. I would say Delorier, McDermott. Especially who was it? Was it Brendan Lemieux that said McDermott's the toughest in the league, bar none, and everyone knows it?
Lemieux's a dummy.
Okay. I think those are my top three. I want to say Reeves, but he's not right now. So I'll say Rempe. I'll say Rempe just because he's willing to go with anyone. He's a strong cat, and I think he's going to keep getting better at fighting. So those are my top three right now.
Yeah, my top three are Delorier, Rempe, and Olivier. Those are my top three. I have never drank the McDermott Kool-Aid. I feel like when he does fight someone who knows how to fight, he gets exposed. But he's just a strong, big guy. Like, he's super strong. He handles himself. But if he fights like a Lucic, Lucic worked him. if he fights a Reeves. I feel like those guys have the upper hand. I think Rempe is just one of those guys who everybody's a little scared of. They don't want to get embarrassed by him for some reason, because he really only had that explosion of a couple fights. But yeah, he's the wild card there. But my number one is Delorier. My number two is Olivier. And my number three is Rempe. Those three guys are very, very good fighters. All right, moving on, Tim. What are we doing next?
Let's do some quick hits here. The Capitals have now won five straight, and two of those are against Philly right in a row, so maybe a little bit of an asterisk there, but wins are wins. They've got five of them in a row for a team that we both kind of thought would fall out of the playoffs. Again, we're talking early, but we thought maybe last year was an aberration, that they weren't as good as their record reflected, and here they are looking really good. So what are your thoughts on this team so far?
Well, speaking of asterisks, empty net goals. Alex Ovechkin gets one last night, and it's the second empty net goal. Like, what the heck are we doing here where you keep the goalie on the bench when you're down by two and there's like a minute left? Like, just accept defeat, John Tortorella, and Ovi gets an empty net goal to give him two on the year. Drives me crazy. But anyways, back to the Washington Capitals. Yeah, they're playing great hockey. I think they're taking advantage of their competition, so they're winning the games that they should win. And don't look now, but they're like a hair out of first place. Like the best team in the NHL. They're playing great hockey, and they're everything that was advertised when they went out this offseason and got some firepower help for this team. They shored up the back end. They bring in Logan Thompson, who's playing really, really solid. He played great last night. So I like this team. I really do. I don't think they are Stanley Cup contender by any means, but like they could easily slip into the top three teams of the Metropolitan. Like, yeah. The Hurricanes lost some firepower. The Flyers are sucking it up. The Penguins below 500. So it's really the Rangers, Devils, and Capitals in this division. I said it at the start of the season. This division is not nearly as strong as it was even 3 years ago. So, yeah. And the Islanders, what's going on there? 2-2-2. Like, let's pick it up. I had Bizarre. Them doing a little bit better.
Speaking of the Flyers, too, Mishkov now leads the team with 7 points in seven games. Looking real good. You mentioned this already. He's got to be the Calder favorite so far. Luke Hughes is making his debut tonight. He's another guy that's, you know, young up and comer. But Mishkov, really cool to see. He was the best Russian on the ice last night, and that was against his idol, Ovechkin.
Yeah, it's nice that John Tortorella is just letting him play. You know, I think he had a news conference or a question. A reporter asked him, are you going to try to rein him in? You know, force him to play a little bit more defense. And he said, you don't do that with this type of player, which I thought was really kind of something noteworthy, because he did that with other players. Yeah. I was in the room when he was screaming at Marian Gaborik to play more defense or you won't play at all. Gaborik was one of the best offensive player of my generation. And so if he's saying this with this kid, like he must be really, really good. So he's got 7 points. The next closest has four on the Philadelphia Flyers. So he's really doing it by himself. So yeah, good for him. This is a steal for the Philadelphia Flyers getting this kid.
You mentioned this already. The Jets are a standalone team, is the single undefeated team, 6-0. Another just a wagon, as you like to say, not me. Couple quick injuries here, both to Utah, both on the back end, really devastating for them. Sean Durzi is out 4 to 6 months following shoulder surgery, and John Marino is out 3 to 4 months following lower back surgery. So Marino was one of their new pieces this summer. Durzi's been there for a little while, and now you have two of your top forward defensemen out long-term, and Durzi might be the entire season. It's a really tough blow for them.
This is a stupid question. Is there any relation to Dan Marino?
I don't think so.
Imagine that, though. Your dad was Dan Marino. It'd be cool. I don't want to scoop past the Winnipeg Jets just yet, because they've won six in a row. Let's stick on them just for a hot second. I've heard that Winnipeg, the town is going crazy, which is really nice to see, because the last few years, they've been kind of shying away from the Winnipeg Jets a little bit, I want to say. They had the initial bump from when they came back to Winnipeg. They had some really good teams, and all of a sudden, the team's winning again, so the rink is full. There's chatter around town. People are talking about the Winnipeg Jets, rightfully so. So they've won their first six, two of them in overtime. Let's just get that out there. One versus the Minnesota Wild. They beat the Hawks in overtime in the second game of the season, but they've won six. Where do they get their first loss? They got Seattle tonight. They got Calgary on Saturday. And you got Montreal on Monday. Do they lose one of those games? Sorry, Toronto on Monday, not Montreal. Toronto on Monday.
Yeah,
Seattle, Calgary, Toronto.
I would love for it to be Calgary. What a statement win that would be for the Flames. But I'll say Seattle tonight. I think 7-0 is just really, really hard. So I'll say tonight it ends.
I think it's Calgary on Saturday. And then both of those teams are just solid, because Calgary's still technically undefeated in regulation. So that'll be a huge matchup, both teams going in with a zero under the loss column. But moving on to Utah, yeah, this is going to be a tough pill to swallow for them. Their strength is their just team play. I don't think they have any real superstars, although Gunther, whatever the hell his name is, he is just... He's a superstar in the making if he already is. So it's a tough one. Sergachev's going to have to earn his money now. Like, now's the time. That's why you brought this guy in. He's going to go from playing 21, 22 minutes a game to getting a half an hour. He has to step up, but it's going to be a tough little swallow for these guys. It was a good start, but boy, oh boy, losing those caliber defensemen this early in the season for that length, that'll be tough. Like, Durzi and Marino were 2-3. That's how big they were to this team. So it's going to force a lot of guys into a lot of minutes that I don't know if they can handle.
The last one here, Robert Thomas for the Blues. Their top center is out in about 6 weeks or so. They're going to be reevaluated then. Fractured ankle, tough blow for them. He's obviously core to that offense. And it's a tough blow to me. He's on my fantasy team. So he's on my IR now.
Great player. Probably one of the more underrated players in the NHL. Always puts up a ton of points. Fun to watch. Like, he's a magician with the puck. Well, did you catch what Don Cherry said? Grapes. He said, there's so many injuries nowadays because the preseason is too short. You go from training camp to preseason, right into the regular season. There's not enough time for these players to get game ready, and you just force this onto them, and they're not ready for the season, and they just get injured. He said, maybe the preseason is too short because you should have a longer training camp before you start playing games in the preseason. It's like you get to camp, like we talked to Kirby Dach, you do your medical, you have like 3 days, and then you have your first preseason game. So it's a really truncated training camp before you start into the games. And once you're into the games, training camp is essentially over. You're not working on things. You're just on to the next game. What are your thoughts on that? Should they get rid of preseason games and have an extended training camp? Is Don Cherry off his rocker and he's senile because he's so old? What are your thoughts on this, Tim?
Yeah, this feels like it flies against everything we talked about, because at the end of the summer, we were kind of saying that the preseason is too long and the guys are getting hurt unnecessarily playing their fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever it is, preseason game. That kind of feels silly. So I'm surprised to hear this, although he gets it. I'd be open to a longer training camp and shorter preseason. But if you're a player, which would you rather have? Do you value more the longer training camp to work on stuff, or would you rather have something closer to game ready speed, although you increase the chance of getting hurt in a preseason game?
I think a longer training camp would be better. I think you would see better hockey start game one. You could work on special teams a lot more. You could work on line combinations. That would be better, because preseason games, they're scary in a sense, because everybody's just trying to make a name for themselves. And that's where you see a lot of injuries, and vets don't want to play in them. So yeah, I think a longer training camp would do a lot. I think that Don's onto something. Limit the preseason games down to 2 or 3, longer training camp. I think you would see a lot better hockey come game one. It makes more sense to me. And then don't send two teams over to Australia or to Czech Republic or Japan or wherever the hell they go. Makes no sense. Don't start the season a week before everybody else. Dumb. Look at it. Really cost the Sabres. They're slowly starting to get back into their groove, but they were out of sorts.
If you want to grow the game, make it easy for people to watch it here in the US and Canada. There are games you can't watch if you don't have Amazon Prime or Hulu. There are games that if you have all the subscriptions, you'll still get blocked for out of market stuff or in market stuff. It's wacky.
Let's not vent like a bunch of Karens. Stay positive here.
Are voicing their concern just about every night now about not being able to watch the games.
It's a just grudge. I feel it. It doesn't make sense to me if you're trying to. Anyways, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other show. I appreciate everybody listening. Sign up for Patreon so Tim can get off my back and we can buy my kids some food. They're skin and bones. And have a good weekend, everybody. Cheers.